You may be seated. And we're going to open up with Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7. It says, therefore, this is Paul talking to Timothy, but he's talking to us. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, he said. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. I turn to Acts. Acts 1. Now, in verse 5, it says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That was Jesus speaking. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you know that times and seasons, God controls time and he controls the seasons. You got to understand that. No matter what is going on, God's in control. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that. Because in Psalm 8, verse 1, it says, Lord, comma, O Lord, your name is exalted through all the earth. Now, that sounds cool, doesn't it? O Lord, our Lord. But now you got to understand what the Hebrew translation of that is. It is Jehovah control, the one who is in control. Look it up. That's the Hebrew. See, and when you start looking that up, things will enlighten more to you and say, yeah, so God is in control. Yes. I don't care what anybody, what the news media, anybody's telling you, God is in control. So are you activating the power of Holy Spirit in your life? Holy Spirit, see, like we said last week, is hovering, he's brooding, and he's waiting for us to speak. Speaking God's word in faith. When we do, he moves into action to make it happen. That is spirit power. That is spirit power. Now, back to Timothy there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Again, then I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. sort of makes it a little different, doesn't it? When you look about that, you need to stir the gift up of the Holy Spirit that is in you. So it says right there, He has given us His Holy Spirit, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. You got three things right there. You can't miss that. Three distinct spirits. A spirit of power, spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. And before we get into the power of the Spirit, I want to talk to you a minute about the sound mind. A sound mind. The original Greek word translated sound mind is sophronismos. I got that cool, Doc. S-O-P-H-R-O-N-I-S-M-O-S. And it appears in the Bible only this one time. In other translations, the word sophronismos is rendered self-control, self-discipline, discipline, good judgment, and sound judgments. You'll find that in the different translations when you go to look it up. A sound mind stabilizes our entire inner world. You getting what I'm saying there? When Paul says God has given us the spirit of a sound mind, or self-control, self-discipline, and sound judgment, Paul recognized that God's Spirit yields obedience, right living, and moral judgment. From the inside out, Holy Spirit reshapes and transforms not just how we think, but who we are. A sound mind is a stable, healthy mind. A healthy mind is linked to our attitude and our outlook as believers. A sound mind is not overly concerned with the cares and problems of this life, but is set on God and His kingdom. You need reference to that? Colossians 1, 1 and 2. I'm just going to give you the scripture. A sound mind is alert and sober, focused on the eternal hope we have in Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter 1, 13. A sound mind recognizes who we are in Christ and does not depend on human wisdom and strength. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. A sound mind is guarded through prayer and purity. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 through 8. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God comes when we are confidently trusting in the Lord with all of our heart and mind. And we are not anxious. What I mean about anxious, worrying about a present situation. Because you know what worry is? It's a sin. It's a sin. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Paul chooses, or his choice of a military term implies that the mind is a battle zone and needs to be protected by a military guard. The purpose of such a guard in a wartime situation is to prevent a hostile invasion or takeover. The peace of God operates the same way, to protect the mind from external corrupting forces and keep our mind focused on God's truth. Finally, brother and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The effectiveness of our prayer life depends on the degree of confidence we place in Holy Spirit. He is God's power arm. He's the one who's going to guarantee that the work gets done. That power arm.
You said guaranteed.
I get guaranteed, brother. I don't guarantee it. The Word does. He is the guarantee. Okay? But when I saw that right-hand power, all I could think about was jab, jab, jab. Boom. When that right hand of righteousness comes, get out of the way. God is going to clean up Washington, D.C. It's doing it right now before your very eyes, if you haven't awakened to that fact. It is. Because God is on the move. And He's cleansing. He's cleansing. And America will be saved. Make no doubt about it. So how's your prayer life? Do you know what to pray when your backs are against the wall? Or when you're facing a difficult and desperate situation? Do you know how to pray for everyday issues of life? A lot of questions there, huh? It is the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of every born-again believer who is there to help us, regardless of anything we are facing right now or even in the future. We can be walking through the direst of circumstances, and He's there waiting to explode on the scene for us. He is the breathtaking, dynamic power of God charged with giving us victory. But there's something we need to know. We can't be sitting around twiddling our thumbs. And we're gonna expect that power to just show up. Okay? We need to trust that He is within us and purposefully connect with Him in prayer. Oh my, is prayer an option? And that's when we're going to get results. We need to connect with the Spirit of power for the supernatural results in our life, and we do it through prayer. Know with confidence His power is working when we pray. When is it working?
When we pray.
That's right, when we pray. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power that works in us is Holy Spirit power. Neither God's love nor His power is limited by human imagination. It is not. When we are facing a seemingly impossible problem, there's hope. There is nothing too big for God in our lives because His power is flowing through us, through our spirit man. James 5, verse 16. James 5, verse 16. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man and woman makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Dynamic in its working. When we harness that power through prayer, our earnest, heartfelt prayers have great power and produce amazing results. As we petition God for the desires of our heart, it's imperative that we know His power is working in us, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 there. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think, according to that power. That power. I'm talking about the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is working to bring victory to pass in our lives. Big John. Chapter 15. Look at verse 7 there. If you abide in me, Jesus speaking, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now drop down to verse 9. Verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And if we continue, it says right there, if you keep my commandments, that's words, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, his words, and abide in his love. See, Christ loves us, and loves us unconditionally. As we obey Christ's word and abide in his love, we will come to experience and understand his love for us more and more and more. Yeah. What's love got to do with it?
Everything
is right. Verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? So when we say the joy of the Lord is our strength, we are saying that God's Word is our help and support through Holy Spirit. That's where the joy of the Lord comes from. That's where our strength comes from the Holy Spirit. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Verse 14, right here. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. If you do whatever I say. Way back when he started in Cana, what did his mama tell the servants? Whenever they're there. You do whatever my boy tells you to do. Don't you question him. They said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Jesus calls us so his friend. When we are born again, we got the best friend ever. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us through the thick and the thin. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say that with me? Forever. He ain't going nowhere. You know where he's living at? In eternity in heaven. And he's watching to see what we're doing with the kingdom he left us in charge of here on this earth. Because we are the ecclesia. We are his voice. We are his hands. We are his feet. And we are to make a difference in our communities and in our country. You have been empowered to do that. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Best friends with Jesus. Yes. Now, I look in Proverbs. Brother Tim, I'm going to tell you, you're going to like this. Yep. Proverbs 18, verse 24 of the voice. Someone with many so-called friends may end up friendless. But a true friend is closer than a brother. Jesus is truly the friend who sticks closer than a brother. So what are we supposed to do? Cast our cares on Jesus. Cast them on Jesus. That's your best friend. He can handle it. He can handle it. So what have you been thinking about here? The problem or the answer? See, it's a good idea to meditate on the answer when we pray. When?
When we pray.
That's it, right? When we pray. When we became believers, we stopped thinking like the world and started thinking according to what the victorious word of the Lord says. Romans 12. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we renew our minds to God's truth, we will know His will for us, which is always good, acceptable, or pleasing, and perfect. God reveals His will for mankind through His Word. And as we study, meditate, and put God's Word into practice, we will come to understand God's will for our lives. Real simple, I'm going to make it. Word up.
Amen.
What are we to do?
Word up.
Because we know that in John 15:7, we abide, live and rest in the Word. You live in the Word, you can rest in the Word. God didn't just rest on the seventh day. He celebrated. But when you live, you can celebrate in His Word. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, as we are facing a problem, spend time abiding in the Word. How'd it go for Brill Cream? A little dabble, do you? Well, I'm telling you, a little dab ain't going to do you in the Word. It's amazing how that little dab of that cream. I saw pictures when you both had hair. You know, you chose to shave it the rest of the way off. God didn't take it all off there. You know how that came off? You weren't casting all your anxieties and all your cares upon Him. That's what happened to that hair. But see, you've learned since then. But don't worry, He's got all the hairs on your head numbered. He's got them collected for you. When you get to heaven, He's going to go, pow, put it right back on there for you, bro. You know? Yeah, even you, sir. Yeah, you'll get it all back. I know, hanging around with your son, you decided to take that off. Right? You like that side manual there. It's gone now. Hallelujah.
I wonder why he was laughing so hard when you were all me.
Huh? praise God. It's good to be with family. Hallelujah. Find out what the Word says about the problem. See, and we can ask the Holy Spirit to actually give us a specific scripture for it. Yeah, you can go to him, ask him. Now in John 16, that's the big John again, 16. See, some people don't think I know how to use the Bible. That's why I figured I better do it this way. And everybody thinks I just, yeah, I do write them down, but I think you ought to know, I know where to find them. Okay, verse 13 there. John 16, verse 13. However, when the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Once we have a scripture, then we need to meditate that scripture. And here is something that's real important for us. Choose to believe it.
Yes.
You gotta believe the Word. Because
yes.
The Word works.
Amen.
If something ain't working, it ain't the Word. You better look in the mirror, check it up. And that's when you can ask the Holy Spirit, what's going on here? What do I need to deal with? See, not what you got to deal with. What do I need to deal with? Works for me. I've stood in front of that mirror many times and asked. Sometimes you may not like the answer. But it's the answer you need to know. It'll help you to grow. You will become mature. Mature. Not childlike. You won't take offense. When God takes, don't take offense when he talks. Because he loves you. Or he wouldn't bring it to your attention. But don't continue to ignore him either. Because it's not good for your behalf. He's not going to bring anything upon you. But see, you opening a door. You open a door. And there's an evil one out there, our adversary, the devil. Roams around like a roaring lion. Looking at who he's going to destroy or devour. Well, he's not going to. Only if you let him, though. It's a choice you have to make. So once you get that scripture, you apply that to its specific situation until your thoughts align with God's word. And when we pray, speak the desired outcome. This is also very important. Hey, let's go visit Mark. Yep, let's go visit Mark. Mark 11. Mark 11. You know, Brother Hagin talked this scripture. So I mean, it just came out of his pores when he sweat. Kenneth Copeland, he does the same thing. Coach, this speak this pretty good. So I feel like I'm in pretty good company when I can use this. Mark 11. You there? Okay, in verse 22, I like this. Jesus says, have faith in God. Well, in the literal Greek, it says, have the God kind of faith. I like it. Have the God kind of faith. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Do you believe you will receive when you ask God? Man, I thought it'd be a lot stronger than that. Amen. Or do you feel that your prayers sound great going up, but they may be falling on a desert island? She had never had that feeling. Because he says he will hear us. Let's see, where's that at there? Okay. Yeah. I shall call upon the Lord, and he will answer me. Yes. Psalm 91 is important.
Amen.
All scripture is important.
Amen.
All scripture is breathed into by the God. Hallelujah. God's word promises that whatever we ask when we pray, we will receive. If we believe and do not doubt in our hearts. But I want you to notice something in verse 23. How many times Jesus mentions the word says. Okay. He says, I say to you, whoever says, one, to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, two, will be done. He will have whatever he says, three. It's important to say things in three. Look up the number three when you get an opportunity. Hallelujah. But three times, he's trying to make it important for us to know that. It's what we say. God's word promises us that whatever we ask when we pray, we will receive. Prayer naturally involves speaking, though, does it not? Speaking and communicating our request to God. But we must say our desired outcome. And this verse promises we will have what we say. This is why it is important to speak what the Word says. You see, Holy Spirit is not activated to perform the Word until we speak it. Wow. Flip it over. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 there. We were there last week, but we're going to go back again. And, you know, we're going to go so far back, we're going to go to the very beginning. How about verse 1? Verse 1, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering, brooding, over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Holy Spirit was hovering. He was waiting on God's word. Yeah. Folks, he's waiting on God's word for you to speak it. The simple fact of his presence didn't accomplish anything. It wasn't until God spoke and said, let there be light. Holy Spirit then exploded onto the scene. Do you ever watch Star Trek or Star Wars? Yeah, I like them. And you ever see when they were going to jump to hyperspeed? That's what it was like when the Holy Spirit took off. It was a blur to the human and natural eye. But see, that's the power of the Spirit. And he traveled that first day 16,700,400,000 miles. It was called the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. That's flying, folks. Woo! Jesus, hallelujah. When we speak the answer and not the problem, Holy Spirit is activated to perform the word of God spoken out of our mouths. Throughout Scripture, God called things to be not as though they did. So you turn back, all the way back here. Romans. Let's go back to Romans now. Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. Hope you're enjoying this, hallelujah, because I am. I'm enjoying bringing it out, hallelujah. Look to verses 16 through 18 here. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise of what? The promise of the Spirit, might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him, God, whom Abraham believed. Yea, believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And Jesus wants us to do that as well. And we should. We should call those things which do not exist as though they did. See, this is a powerful way to harness the power of the Holy Spirit when we pray. This will really help us. And that is to, ready? Speak in tongues. You know what God said? They're paying attention, son. You're doing a good job. Keep it up. So I'll take that one. See, because it's not about me. It's all about him. I'm just a voice for him. We are his voice here on this earth. But I did that demonstration for one thing. Jude. How many of you ever been to Jude? Not Hey Jude by the Beatles. I'm talking about Jude in the Bible. Jude. And you know what chapter we're going to go to? Yeah. Oh, how about we look to verse 20 there. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress and rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Right there. Praying in the Spirit. This is one sure way to harness the power of Holy Spirit. And that is to pray in tongues. Praying in tongues. Because in Romans chapter 8, you got to admit, there's a lot in that chapter 8. I love chapter 8. Verse 26 there, Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's talking about tongues. It's talking about a spiritual language that God can hear. And you know who can't hear it? Satan. Satan is a created. He's created. Got to understand that. The angels were created. He doesn't have the impartation of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't have God's Spirit in him. Because if he did, he'd have never did what he did in the first place. So he can't understand. That's why he doesn't want you praying in tongues. Because he doesn't know what you're saying to God. He does not know. And that really just ticks him off something bad. So I pray in tongues as much as I can. Just like Paul said, I pray in tongues more than y'all. That's what we got to do. You don't know what, you don't go. When you're praying in the natural sometimes, you're leaving it wide open to him. Because he's going to come back and you say, okay, do you really believe that? Do you believe that? Well, how about this and how about that? And if you don't have enough time in the Word, he's going to convince you otherwise. He's going to get you into that doubt and unbelief.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we don't know what we should pray for and how we should pray, Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. But we must open our mouths and speak in other tongues. This means the Spirit of power that helped create the earth and raise Jesus from the dead is there interceding for us when we pray in tongues. As we yield to Holy Spirit in prayer, it builds us up and releases His dynamic and explosive power to go to work on our behalf. We will see issues evaporate and answers revealed. As Brother Copeland's mother, Vanita, I love that, Vanita, she used to say when others were facing a problem, I'm going to quote her now. Hit it with tongues, honey. Hit it with tongues. Can you imagine? Her and Terry had to pray for him to get saved. Is that not something? Yeah. Terry Pierce's, yeah. Her daddy, she said, it was a picture. And he said it. Said, there was a picture of my dad at grandma's house. And he was sitting there. She says, I'd go by there. I'd say, save my daddy. You know, and he, guess what prayer did? Woo! He's taking the gospel. That's it. From the top to the bottom and all the way around. Man, prayer changes things. Hallelujah. As we harness the power of Holy Spirit in prayer, we will see God begin to work in our lives in many powerful ways. Unleash this power in prayer in all areas of your life. Your marriage, your ministry you've been called into, your finances, your health, your career. And God guarantees you success. All he does? What did he say in Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future, that's eternity, and a hope. And a hope here is a confident expectation of success. Where do we place our hope? In the Lord. Hallelujah. In the Lord. You ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Huh? Everybody? Come on, let me see your hands. Everybody been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now listen. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning here. As soon as I finish up. See, because just as you accepted the gift of salvation by making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. You can and should also accept the gift of Holy Spirit. And if you need an extra touch to get back on track with the Spirit, we can do that too. See, Jesus, as well as the Old Testament prophet Joel, told us this gift would be made available to us. And Peter confirmed it when it happened on the day of Pentecost. Joel prophesied that God would pour out His Spirit upon all people. That's Joel 2, verse 28. Before His death, Jesus told His disciples that He would ask the Father to give us a helper who would never leave us, the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 and 17. Jesus goes on to tell them it was for their advantage that He go away, saying, unless I go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. John 16, 7. And Jesus told the disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift He promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 1, 4 and 5. On the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit did indeed come, and devout men from every nation were filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, Peter stood up and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And that's in Acts 2, 14 through 17. But in this verse, we can see that the Lord gave the Gentiles, which is us, the Holy Spirit. And how did He do that for them? Because they were ready and eager to receive it. And they believed the Word of God that promised they could have this gift. It was and still is that simple for us. We receive Holy Spirit by faith. Now, it's time for us to receive Holy Spirit by faith. So I'm going to ask you to come down when I finish here. But remember, there's nothing required to receive Him. You just receive Him. The Holy Spirit is ready, and He's already in you, you see. He's in you. You just got to cooperate with Him and receive your supernatural prayer language. Amen. So I thank you for